Maybe if we go to Booty's tonight, we can see I can get some video of Rudy karaokeing. That'd be good. That'd be good times. Our thanks to Jacob Junis. Really like that guy. This is a team I've had a couple of people text me and say, you know what, this is going to be a really fun team to root for because everybody seems like a great guy, and I would agree. I've not run into a bad guy yet in the Royals clubhouse, so certainly looking forward to covering this team. Looking forward to the Chiefs' defense being better. All right, Steve Spagnuolo hired as the defensive coordinator. He met with the media today. Here's his teleconference.
Hey, Steve, it's Adam Teicher from ESPN. Welcome to Kansas City.
I appreciate it. Let me maybe real quick if I can. It's a little odd because I can't see anybody. Now, I have to look at Ted the whole time. I hope everybody has to realize that. So that ain't great for me, better for you guys. But look, I just wanted to say appreciate your time today. I want to in advance thank Clark, the Hunt family, you know, Coach Reed, Brett, for allowing me this opportunity. I'm excited as heck to be here. Feel really, really blessed to be a part of this organization, this team, and what it's all about. I mean, certainly my association with Andy goes way back, and to be able to be back with him is just terrific and greatly appreciated. So having said that, I'll just open it up for questions.
Hey, Steve, how much do you know about the guys who are going to be playing for you next year, understanding that some of them are still yet to come through the draft and free agency?
Yeah, that's the exciting part of this time of the NFL calendar. You know, don't really know what you have yet, but you can anticipate what you're hopeful to get. We have, as a coaching staff, had an opportunity, obviously, to study last year's film, do the best assessment we can as to the talent that we have, the type of players we have. With that, you know, certainly Brett Veach chimes in and helps us out. But I will say this. This is a long process to figure out who and what we have, how it fits. In today's NFL calendar, where you just have the 9 weeks of off season and then into training camp, and even training camp is short, it takes a little time to figure it out. And one thing I've always said, especially about defensive football, is you don't really get a good assessment of your players until you could put pads on and watch them play real defensive football. And we all know that doesn't happen until, you know, the end of July. So it'll be step-by-step process, but we're certainly knee-deep into it and enjoying it.
From what you've been able to see, and I'm talking about maybe the front seven in particular, do you see guys versatile enough to play in whatever scheme you might put together?
I do. We're not going to get hung up in scheme right now, and the reason I say that is I think what we first should do is find out what we have, how they fit, and then decide exactly what that scheme is. You know, I do think today things get a little overblown. I mean, let's all recognize that in today's football, they put a lot of wideouts out there on offense, so we're in a lot of sub-defenses, and a lot of sub-defenses are not classified as 4-3 or 3-4. You just get your best pass rushers out there, and you get your best coverage people. So once we get that figured out, you know, we'll start slotting people in the way they should go.
Steve, it's
hey,
Kevin
Steve,
Keatsman over at
Tom Martin with KCTV. Hey, what did the year away do for you, and what was that like?
That's a, Tom, great question. I appreciate you asking it. I've said this to a lot of people. First of all, I'm glad I did it. Maybe there might have been another year I should have done it. But I found it to be both challenging and the challenge was missing football, missing the camaraderie of coaches, players, you know, not being at training camp. Ted knows I love training camp when it's nice and hot and you're doing football. That was the challenge, was missing it. But the rewards were to sit back, see a big picture view of the NFL and the game of football, as opposed to, you know, being in these buildings during the season and have the blinders on with just the team that you're going to play. I just thought a big picture view of the league, the game of football, the pluses and minuses. I have oodles of notes. I did have the opportunity, because I was living in the Philadelphia area, to go over to NFL Films every week and have access to film. So the young guys here in Kansas City already know that I had a lot of plays that I wanted to pull because I gave it to them as soon as I got here. So, again, I'd go back and say it was challenging yet very, very rewarding.
Steve, it's Kevin Keatsman at Sports Radio 810. Welcome.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hey, you obviously wouldn't be here and have a new staff here unless it was bad. How bad was it? And was it a bigger coaching problem or personnel issue?
Well, look, at you guys don't know me real well just yet, but I really don't go backwards, and I'm not going to pass judgment. I would say this. I think the world of Bob Sutton. Bob and I have known each other a long time. He's a good football coach. And, you know, a change was made. You know, Coach Reed made that decision. I'm just happy that I was able to fall into what I think is a great position. We only used the tape of last year to assess the talent we have, but I certainly wouldn't pass judgment on what was done in last year. Look, they won 13 football games here, if I'm correct, right? 13-3 and then on to the playoffs. So, you know, somebody did something right.
Is it possible to improve it significantly this first year?
Well, look, that's what we want to find out. We'd all like to think that that can happen, but this is a process, and there are no quick fixes. There's no magic wand. You know, one person or a new staff coming in here does not assure success. But I will tell you this, that we will do everything to put something together that we're playing aggressive, challenging, physical, competitive defensive football. That's the goal.
It's Steve, that's Sam Ellinger with the Star newspaper. I wanted to follow up. You talked about the big picture, right? The reward of being away. You were able to see football in a, you know, from a different angle. Can you expand on that a little bit? How might you be different now than you were a year ago or 5 years ago?
Listen, I'll say this, and you might think I'm saying it just because I'm talking to people in the media, but I did do a little bit of media work, some radio, a little bit of TV. I found it real interesting, the questions and the perception of people in the media. Now, here's where I'm going. Sometimes, as coaches, you know, we don't see the forest through the trees. And somebody that may or may not know football the way a coach does brings something up, and it just gets you thinking as a person that's in the middle of it. I think there were a number of those that happened to me when I would kind of back off a little bit and say, Jesus, that was an interesting question. Maybe I think about that a little bit. But so to me, that's what I mean by big picture and the vision. I probably have too many thoughts of things that I could change, and you got to be careful of that, too. I mean, the foundation of what we do and how we want to build this thing won't change, but I'm always open to changing policies, procedures. I went to a number of practices. You know, I saw drills that I would incorporate. I saw the structure of practice, how it was run, you know, that I would use, and, you know, I'll certainly suggest it to Coach Reed, and whether he uses it or not, that's up to him. But things like that, I think, are real helpful.
Okay. Hi, Steve. Keith Sweeney with that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, okay. Thanks, Steve. Just one more. Your coaches are, if I'm right, there's nobody, not a position coach that has the same job that he had last year. How important was it for you to really, you know, get that staff exactly how you wanted and have some guys that you have a history with?
I do think that's always important. Listen, Coach Reed was tremendous. You know, a bunch of coaches obviously had left here for other jobs, and there were openings. Andy and I put our heads together. It was a little bit of a long process, but I think it was long for a good reason. I think we got the right people. You're right in the fact that many of these guys I have a history with, and that's really, really important. Especially when you start out this process, even in the meetings that we've had, you know, we started right out with terminology because you can't sit in here and talk football unless you're all speaking the same language. And believe it or not, every team you go to has a little bit of a different language, but we're all on the same page. We're advanced that way. In other words, the guys that are here working together have spoken very similar language. We're trying to put something together that will work. But having guys that know each other a little bit, I thought was really, really important.
Hi, Steve. Pete Sweeney with Sixth Sense Sports and SB Nation. Congratulations, first of all.
Thanks, Pete.
I just wanted to know, how attractive was this position for you, given the opportunity to be the defense for Patrick Mahomes and the MVP and what that offense offers?
Yeah. I think you won't talk to a defensive coach in the NFL that doesn't say they'd like to be on a team with A, a really good head football coach, and B, a really good quarterback. I mean, we all know in today's football, in this league, if you don't have that position. If you don't feel good about that position at quarterback, you're always looking for one, and the whole rest of the team is affected when you're looking for it. So, yeah, it goes without saying that I'm real excited to be part of an organization that has an elite quarterback, evident by what he did last year. And quite frankly, guys and gals, to work for Andy Reid again and what he's all about and what he's meant, certainly to this franchise and to the league as a whole, is really, really special to me to be back and be a part of it. I had 8 years in Philadelphia, loved it, and I've made my way back to working with Andy again, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Just one other thing for me. The previous coaching staff valued a lot of press and jam at the cornerback position. Just what sort of things do you look for at that position in particular?
Yeah, there'll be elements of that. I think that's smart football. Look at every wide receiver wants to get a free release, and you don't give it to them. It makes their job a little bit more challenging. So we're certainly going to incorporate those type of skills in this particular scheme that we'll put together.
Following up on
Steve, this is Nate Taylor with The Athletic. Hope you're doing well, and congratulations on the job.
Thanks,
Nate. I have a two-part question. In your assessment so far of what you've seen from last year's tape, what is your overall impression of the younger players on defense? Obviously, they drafted 5 rookies last year. And have you been able to speak with any of the players from last year's roster as you go ahead into this offseason process?
Well, I'll answer the second one first. I've spoken to a few of the players. The one thing I always concern myself with is if I worry about not being able to get to everybody and having somebody slighted because the defensive coordinator couldn't get a hold of them. So the guys that I have spoken with really have been in the building, and that's been terrific. So that's been a little bit spotty, but before it's all said and done, as we get close to April, I certainly will have a chance to talk to everybody. The first part of your question with the young guys, I think there's some really good young talent here that had chances to play this year, which means they got a little bit of experience under their belt. But I think Brett Veach and his staff did a great job, certainly late in rounds and in free agency, to identify some players that we hope in the future can help us out here on defense.
And Steve, to go quickly to one guy in particular who may have been in the building or not, have you spoken with Eric Berry yet? And do you know sort of where he is sort of in his health situation, understanding he only played 3 games last season?
Yeah, I know. Look at Rick Burkholder will handle that with Andy. I'm not up to snuff on the injury situation, but I've always had a great deal of respect for Eric ever since he was drafted. I have not had a chance to speak with him, but look, he's a talented football player, and we all know you got to be healthy, so I'm sure he's working on that right now.
Steve, following up on the question about...
from the Kansas City Star. Just wanted to ask you a question while you're addressing some specific players. I know D-Court is a franchise tag candidate right now. What did you make of him in the evaluation that you had going through his tape of the last year?
Yeah, we're still kind of assessing that, but the one thing he can do, and we all know this, is he's an explosive football player that makes a lot of plays. He's had some production, and look at it. If he's here with us, I'll be excited to have him, be excited to work with him.
How do you kind of see him fitting in a scheme that you may run? I know he's been an outside linebacker, but he's also had some experience playing a DN in a 4-3 in college.
Yeah, I'll be perfectly honest. Really haven't figured that out yet. I think myself, linebacker coaches, D-line coaches would still like to figure that out. I don't think that we're ready to put a tag on it one way or the other.
Hey, Steve, just following up on the question you got about Patrick Mahomes and the offense, as you sat out for a year and looked around football, this has been going on in college for a while, and now it seems to be happening in the NFL. When you have offenses that are so prolific and score so quickly, other than the obvious that your defense is on the field for more snaps or more possessions in the game, why is it so problematic for so many football teams to play really good defense when they have a great offense?
I'm gonna back up. So what you're saying is the thought process is that the teams with good offenses struggle to play defense. Is that what you're?
Absolutely. And we've seen that with the Chiefs as they got more prolific. Now, there's more snaps.
Yeah, I feel what you say. This is one of those questions, Ted, where it was eye-opening to me. This is one of the things I'm talking about. I'll tell you this. I have never really looked at defense that way, and what I mean by that and what we'll be preaching as a group here is that no matter what our offense does, the job on defense never changes. Our job is to go out there and stop people from scoring, and I do think points allowed, obviously, is the number one stat in defensive football. I don't know if that is a true assessment of what you're saying. I don't know why that is. Certainly, the offensive players aren't out there when we go out and play defense, and I don't think any of us on defense are going to use that as an excuse for allowing more points or offenses to move the football. Some people, you know, think that an explosive offense means the defense is out there a little bit more and they tire. And, you know, my answer to that is, you know, go out and stop them on third down, then you won't be out on the field as long. So I'm not sure I have a real good answer to that. My point here is that whether we're scoring or not scoring on offense, our job on defense does not change, and our focus will be to keep the opponent from getting in the end zone or scoring points.
Yeah, one of the things we saw was a lot of teams going for fourth downs, you know, a lot of deep balls, a lot of chance taking. I mean, when you know the Chiefs are going to line up and score 34 or 38 points, the opponent is just going to maybe play differently against you, aren't they?
That's a really good point. I'm going to write that note down. That's one of those things. You make a good point. They feel maybe they panic a little bit, something to be aware of. You know, and certainly if people are taking chances, and I'm not talking about fourth down right now, we got to make sure they pay for taking a chance. That would be our job. You're dead on the league as a whole going for it on fourth down, and that is a challenging down. But if you can win, I would think defensively, if you could win half of the overall fourth down plays, you're probably doing pretty good, now, depending on what that down and distance is, obviously.
Steve, you talked a minute ago about the year you took off from coaching. Was that year off by choice? And if so, why? Did you feel like you kind of needed it where you were at that point?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both, to be quite honest. I mean, if I go back in the calendar, I had interviewed with the Giants for the head coaching job. That kind of lingered for a while. And when it was all said and done, you know, most of the jobs were over and gone. I did decide not to take one particular job. So I guess, in answer to your question, there came a point when I thought it was the best thing for me at that particular time, and I'm really glad I did it. I really am.
And there was
a report.
There was a report back in 2012 that Andy Reid was trying to bring you to the Eagles. Is there any feelings like from that point forward that somewhere along the line that maybe you guys would be back together?
After I was not a head coach anymore, I mean, Andy was always one of the guys I wanted to work for again. 2012, so far back, I can't remember what happened then, but I do know this, you know, in 2019 right now, I feel very fortunate and blessed that I'm back to work with Coach Reid again. I really am.
All right, there it is, Steve Spagnuolo's introductory press conference. I like Steve Spagnuolo. If you heard our interview, we played it, put it up the podcast link earlier when I talked to him a year ago at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, and I think he's an honest guy. He's forthright. You know, he's not going to give you his whole game plan. There's no game plan to protect right there, and so, you know, I think he's real about it. And I think he's a good defensive coach, and I think the Chiefs are in a good situation having him there. And although I'm curious, I'm not sure why he couldn't be at a podium.
Yeah.
You know, answering questions. I just that's kind of an odd dynamic to me. I don't get it. I mean, he's there in Kansas City, clearly. If Ted Cruz is there, it's not like he's moving or something. He's there. I don't get it. But we'll see. We'll take a break. Come back. Give you some things you need to know included in there. Some of the things Ned had to say here today. It's coming up next in the program.